The GAA program with Tom Comack is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Get behind Donegal in 2017 and gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
GAA Vargas Falchuk, Gian Clara, coming Luke Clascale, and a shock on the show. It's Mr. Tom Comack, August by me, and Shock of GAA Clug. And as always on a Wednesday night, hope you can stay with us right through until nine. The focus tonight is on hurling and the Nicky Rackard, Laurie Marr, and the Chris Turing Senior Hurling Championships. They're the championships for the lower tier counties. And of course, Donegal, Derry, and Tyrone are all competing in the Nicky Rackard Cup this year. So big interest in that. And well, I'm delighted to say that I'm joined tonight's programme by a man who captained Donegal to a Nicky Rackard Cup success. That's Colm Brannock, St. Eunan's club man, and of course a Waterford native. First of all, Colm, a very good night to you.
Good night to you, Tom. Good to see you again.
Championship football or championship hurling? I know championship football, championship hurling fever in the air. And we'll talk, of course, about Donegal's prospects and maybe those of Derry and Tyrone in the Nicky Rackard. It's certainly an interesting Nicky Rackard this year with so many teams from the Northwest.
It is, yeah, and far tougher, I would suggest. Far tougher Nicky Rackard this year, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, we're here tonight to do a little bit of reminiscing. Not maybe that far down the road, though. I suppose your involvement with Donegal goes back maybe quite a few years, I suppose, and it wasn't an overnight success either. But anyway, well, Captain Donegal to Nicky Rackard Cup success, and a member of a Laurie Maher winning cup as well, because that's another tier championship which is in memory of one of our other great stars of hurling of the bygone era, of course, Christy Ring, the great Cork hurler, and Nicky Rackard of Wexford are the hurlers that are remembered in those competitions. Tell me, first of all, taking the Laurie Maher, the Nicky Rackard, and the Christy Ring Cups, what have they done for hurling in the weaker counties, or have they done anything?
Well, I think, I suppose, anyone who has been part of it or knows the thing, I mean, everybody who plays hurling, it doesn't matter where you are in the country, you play hurling, you always imagine scoring that winning goal or scoring that winning point in Croke Park.
Yeah.
And I think that's the vital ingredient with all these things. It's fine for competitions. I remember there used to be a B hurling competition with the finals maybe in Tullamore or Nolan Park or whatever. It lacked that kind of sense of identity, because when we as young fellas played hurling in the back gardens with our brothers, you know, we weren't scoring the winning point in Tullamore. We weren't scoring the winning point in Welsh Park in Waterford. We were scoring them in Croke Park. Mm-hmm. And when Sean Kelly brought that in that time, the one huge difference he made was he said that the finals would be in Croke Park. And that, it ignited something in the weaker counties that, you know, that hadn't been there yet. And when people thought, look, we could actually get a chance to play in Croke Park, go to those dressing rooms, have the, you know, have the kind of the feel of a stadium like that, our headquarters, it ignited something new into the lower tier hurling that hadn't been there before.
Yeah, because the reality is up to what, 2006 was it or something, I think, when they started first, maybe, yeah. Around that time anyway, the Laurie Maher, you know, Croke Park was you know, just, you know, Donegal hurlers or Tyrone, yep, hurlers or Leitrim hurlers or Fermanagh hurlers or Longford hurlers. Maybe a young boy growing up in Ring and Waterford might have a chance someday, uh-huh, of maybe getting to play in Croke Park.
Well, exactly.
But certainly, you know, it was you know, beyond the wildest dreams ever, wasn't it? You know,
it was beyond, and you know, for hurling to survive in counties like where we live, there needs to be that kind of same dream. You need to be able to equate it with, you know, the John Milans or the Henry Shefflins or the Tommy Walshes that you were looking at every week, and to be able to kind of say, you see that pitch there, I played there. You know what I mean? And that's what people needed. And for the likes of, say, ourselves here in Donegal or Derry or wherever, you know, to be able to say, you know, I can grace that field too and play the game that I love, even though I'm not in the top eight counties in Ireland, you know, and that's very important for hurling.
And tell me, what was it like when you ran out the first time in Croke Park? What, that was probably one of the Laurie Maher, was it, I think, possibly?
Yeah, we played Derry in, there was another experiment, actually. When the record Christy Ring tournament started, The first experiment was to actually televise them. So they televised them all in one day, and Donegal versus Derry was one of the hurling games featured. And that was the first taste that we had. And I think that could have been maybe 06, maybe.
Yeah, around that time,
Around that time.
Yeah.
And I just remember the feeling of running. I couldn't get over even the night before.
Did you sleep the night before?
I didn't, not at all. Listen, we got a walk out onto the pitch the day before. And I remember turning, I think just Eugene Organ, a club mate of mine, and I said, God, the last time I was here, you weren't allowed onto the pitch. It was the Croke Park Tour or something. And now we were allowed to go and have a look. And, you know, they were saying, this is where you'll be playing the next day. And it was just, you know, it really, and I remember the likes of, say, even Danny Cullen and Kevin Campbell, who were playing that, they were only 16, 17 at the time. And like to think, these fellas were getting this run out into Croke Park in an All-Ireland final. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It was incredible. But I do remember running out. I do remember the feel of it. And I will certainly remember the nerves that was running through me, yeah.
Yeah. And as it happened, you got a lot of run outs then in Croke Park. You know, it was nearly an annual event, wasn't it?
It was amazing. I mean, I remember talking to even my own father down home who, you know, he had eight sons. And he reckoned he'd be in Croke Park his whole life with all his sons playing for Waterford.
Mm-hmm.
But he never realised the fact that he'd actually be in Croke Park four times supporting his son who was playing hurling for Donegal. Like, he said that to me recently, and it is an amazing fact, you know. Like, he's a big, big hurling man, and he used to come to a lot of them matches for Donegal. And he said it was amazing to be able to go and see the counties that he's never seen play hurling, and
that he didn't probably even knew played hurling.
Not at all. Like, I mean, he would never have realised that Donegal played hurling. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Not when he's supporting and following Waterford his whole life.
And I just looking back on the records, and you know, the funny thing, it opened up the lower tier counties to a whole new audience. And the one feature of all those games that were played, you know, that you were involved in particular against Tyrone and against Derry in the Laurie Maher and the Nicky Rackard and all of them, they're yeah, seriously high scoring games.
They were, yeah, and I think people are surprised when they go to those matches to actually see, and like, I'm not being facetious here, but to actually see fellas catching ball, fellas hitting ball left and right. You know, I think there's an assumption out there that maybe the skill level isn't there, but it's not the skill level, that's not the difference. I mean, We have hurlers in Donegal who are born and bred in Donegal and learnt their hurling in Donegal, and they'd have the exact same skill level as a man from Waterford. The problem is, and the difference is, the speed. But I do think people get a surprise when they go and see these competitions. They do kind of get taken back that, Jesus, these fellas actually have great hurling in them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think people forget that.
Yeah. Because I'm just looking back here. Okay, that first Laurie Maher final, Derry beat you, and I was surprised actually that they were in it, because they were up. They were probably had been Ulster champions only a few years before or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
the year before.
They ran up a big score. But I'm looking. It took you three attempts to win the Laurie Maher, but I'm looking, you know, 5-11 Tyrone, Donegal 3-16. That was the one Tyrone won in 2009. Then you won the Laurie Maher in 2010, 120 to 112. You know, massive scores, weren't they?
They are, but I suppose, I mean, when you're talking about
Sorry, it's 2011, 212 to 17. Actually, you lost to Longford as well as Tyrone.
We did, yeah. That's the one I don't like to speak about too much.
Yeah, there's a reason for that, isn't there? We won't tell them.
We won't dwell on that one. But
yeah.
But you're right. I mean, these are people who are well able to. I mean, again, I suppose it goes to the kind of the assumptions that in these lower tiers people can't put the ball over the bar. But I mean, like, hurling is a game where when it's played at any kind of a pace, you're going to get scores, you're going to get excitement. I mean, it's not considered one of the best games in the world for nothing. I mean, these are exciting games. And when you get two teams who are matched, you're going to see a great game and you're going to see scores. And in hurling, you know, we're blessed with that the scoring has remained high no matter what division it is.
Yeah.
There's always going to be good scores.
And like, you were on a Donegal team, you know, in the Larry Moore. You know, you mentioned Danny Cullen, obviously, and Lee Henderson and quite a few of those young fellas, Kevin Campbell, they're still about. But, you know, there was players like Anthony McDade who were coming towards the end of their career, Andrew Wallace and players like that. You know, how they held back the tears, I don't know, getting out to Croke Park.
It was incredible. I remember even talking to Andrew Wallace in particular coming up to that, and he just he was trying to kind of explain to us younger fellas, and I was one of the younger fellas at the time, you know, grasp this, because this will not happen again. This is amazing that we're going to Croke Park and all this, you know. And even Big Anthony from Satanta, same thing. Like, they just, this meant everything to them. Like, they kept saying it to us, you know, this won't come to you again. This will go. This will be gone. You know, and little did they realize, look, we'd be there four more times, but we didn't realize that. But it was such an achievement them to be getting to that. And like, they were lads who had hurled and slogged through the times where this competition wasn't there. And they weren't getting maybe the kudos for playing hurling in a county that was dominated by football. You know, maybe from that time onwards, from 05, 06 onwards, hurling was a bit more visual in Donegal than it had been up to that. And there was media, and there, you know, we did.
Well,
as
you say, you were live on television, and
well, exactly, and it did open up a new audience. I remember young fellas were actually kind of recognising you and going, "Oh, you play hurling for Donegal," you know what I mean? And the older lads wouldn't have had that, because that visual thing wasn't there for the younger people at the time, but it was a great thing for the hurling. Yeah.
Tell me, what did your dad make of Donegal and the hurling team at that time?
Well, like I said, he had assumptions, and he just couldn't get over the skill level. He couldn't get over. There was two things he said that he would love to have a Waterford team there to watch, or a Cork team, because he said the commitment and the hunger was just. He said it's amazing that in a county that's dominated by football, that there were these pockets of hurling that were just so committed to it. But then, I suppose, as I was saying to him, say the likes of Burt, I mean, they're a pocket who are known for hurling, but they have to fight for hurling when they're on a county team too, and they have to, you know, they have to kind of put themselves out there that we are a hurling county, we are the hurling club. And he couldn't get over that. And the second thing was, he couldn't get over the skill level. I mean, you know, I'd say he had assumptions coming up, but he couldn't get over that fellas were catching, that fellas were bursting into tackles, that fellas were, you know, putting ball over the bar left and right. You know, and he was very pleasantly surprised, you know.
And of course, those competitions give Donegal hurlers a quality hurling at a time of the year which probably they hadn't, or not just Donegal, all the other counties.
All hurling, yeah. And it gave us...
Playing in summer rather than playing muck in the winter and wind and rain and sleet and snow.
Exactly, because before that there was a junior championship. I think the final used to be in November or something like that. You know, ridiculous time to be playing hurling. Now suddenly we were playing hurling where the ball is at its fastest, that the slither is bouncing into your hand, that you can actually get away, and we could showcase skillful people. Do you know what I mean? Like, say, the likes of young Sean McBain and Danny, they were able to showcase their skills because the ground was good, you know.
Did it take the couple of defeats to get over the nerves and the awe of Croke Park? And maybe
it did, of course. Yeah, even I would say, even talking to people maybe who are on the higher tiers, or even to the footballing community, I mean, I remember Michael Murphy saying to me, "You play there once, you're sorted." You know,
yeah, it's a badge of honour. It's a badge of honour. Yeah,
it is. And yeah, once you break that duck, then you're away. And it was amazing to see, even in our own hurling team, you know, the fellas who had played once, say the likes of Danny and Kevin, who were only 17 at the time. The second time it came along, I saw them telling the young fellas the same thing. It's grand now. You play there once, you're sorted. You know, and it does take that. It takes the defeat or two kind of get you very, very hungry for the game.
Tato Gershon Clark coming look last game. A shock to the show to me, Tom Cormack. My special guest tonight is Danny Cullen. Or sorry, I was not Danny Cullen. Colin Brannock. We mentioned Danny Cullen, one of the top young hurlers there as well. And well, of course, Donegal won their first All Ireland title. That was the Larry Maher Cup in 2011. Colin was a member of that team as well. We'll talk to him about that right after these.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Get behind Donegal in 2017 and gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Fáilte ó rás, it's just after 8:45 on a Wednesday night. It's me, Tom Comack, with you as usual until 9 o'clock. And our focus tonight is on hurling and, of course, well, the Nicky Racker, the Christy Ring and the Laurie Marr Cup Senior Championships, Hurling Championships are beginning this weekend. In the Nicky Racker, you have Donegal, Derry and Tyrone all competing. Donegal are at home to Armagh. Tyrone are away to Monaghan and Derry make the long trip up the road to Louth, where they will take on Louth. That's in the Nicky Racker. And of course we have Fermanagh flying the Northwest flag. They have a local derby with Leitrim in the Laurie Maher Cup. That's in Brewster Park. All those games are on Saturday at various times. Donegal Armagh is at 1 o'clock in O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. We'll talk to our special guest tonight, Colin Branagh, of course, who has captained Donegal to Nicky Racard Cup success in 2013. Also won a Laurie Maher Cup final after two failed attempts. That was in 2011. And I suppose that's the first time you got to climb the steps of the new Hogan Stand, Colin.
That's right. Yeah. Like I said earlier on, it's every young fella's dream to be able to do it. And it was great to be able to do it with such a great bunch of lads, you know, because we had a great old panel that year, and just, it was great to be able to win something with that bunch of fellas, because we had gone through a fair bit now, and to be able to come out at the end of it with something, you know, it's something that kind of we still mention when we meet each other, you know, it's good.
And it was a pretty tight game, 2-12 to 17, 18 points to 17 against the neighbours Tyrone.
Oh, it was, yeah, sure. It was a fantastic goal at the end by Kieran Masterson from Cools Club. He latched onto a ball and he stuck it away, you know. And that's what got us through at the end, but it was very nip and tuck, that entire match. Because there was periods in that match you thought, Jesus, it's gone again. And then there was other periods where you thought, do you know what, we have them. And God, with 3 or 4 minutes left, you know, we were losing by a point or two. And then that goal, and it sunk them. You could see it in them. We had them at that stage.
Great rivalry, of course, between Donegal and Tyrone and hurling. We talk about it in football, but it's there in hurling too, isn't it?
It is, you know, and you even go back to this year's Division 3A final, and it's Donegal and Tyrone again, and they played each other, you know, three times this year, I think, so far. And we've had that for years, you know. A very, very similar kind of setups, you know. Every time, say, the Donegal hurling team goes forward, Tyrone seem to come up to them. And every time the Tyrone team seem to take a step forward, we seem to catch them. You know, it is very nip and tuck. And I know through the years we knew each other very well, which is not always great. You know?
Yeah, well, the night is flying through here, Colm, and we want to talk actually about the current teams. But roll on, I suppose, 2013 was your greatest moment.
Yeah, or was it 11?
No, 13. Yeah, I think it was 13, wasn't it? Yeah, 13 you won the Laurie Maher, or the Nicky Racard.
Yeah. So, great times for Donegal hurling, you know what I mean? And it's, I suppose, that upward curve has remained, because you see Donegal now, and they were 2B last year, they're now going to be 2B again this year. Like, that upward curve has, well, I suppose, started back then, 10, 11, 12, 13, and it's rising all the time.
Yeah. Beat Roscommon in the final again, pretty close, 3-20 to 3-16, two massive scores.
Yes, and that was Joe Boyle as the captain, and it was a big game. That was a big game. Now, I wasn't part of it at that stage. The age had caught up with me finally there, Tom, but another great victory, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, a lot of those players, you know, still playing and still involved.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you look at the team going out now this Saturday. I mean, you have young Burns, he's still in goal. James Donnelly has reverted to a full-back position now and playing great hurling. Joe Boyle is still involved, and McDermott is still involved. A lot of people are still involved from that time. You have Lee Henderson, you've Danny and Kevin are still there. But, and yet they have this younger generation is coming again, which has to be encouraging for Ardrin and Union and them involved in the setup.
Yeah, and of course, just reflecting back to 2011 again, of course, you were captain in 2011, weren't you?
I was, of course,
you made that famous speech, or what a Joe Connolly type speech on the steps as well. Huh?
Had you
prepared beforehand?
Or I was afraid to prepare. I was kind of superstitious about preparing, you know, because I remember in the very first one, the captain at the time showing me his speech, and things didn't go well for him. So I kind of said, no, do you know what? And I'll go. And she looked, people who know me know I'm well able to talk anyway.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, make sure you thank people, you know, and that was the most important thing of it, you know. Yeah. But the speech kind of came out, and it garnered a bit of attention, and I think it kind of showed people that it's very important for us weaker counties to be important to the GA, and the way they show that we're important is by having these finals and having them at headquarters.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure people understood that.
And tell me, as somebody coming from outside and coming to live and work in the county, you know, how were you treated? Or were you welcomed with open arms when you came first? Or?
Oh God, you're welcomed completely. I mean, the Donegal hurling community is a very open community, and they're always welcoming people, you know what I mean? And it's gas, I suppose, when you come to a county, and the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to be a letdown, because if you're coming from Waterford or Kilkenny or Cork, there's great assumption made up here in the community.
He played minor,
and you're never going to be Ken McGrath or John Mullane. You know?
People
have to get used to that first. But then once you start hurling, and once you start, you know, meeting people, and people are very, very welcoming up here, you know, and they were to me as well, as they are to all the newcomers.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned John Mullane and Henry Shefflin earlier on, and maybe Shane McGrath or some of those McGrath brothers or whatever, but there's a man come to Donegal this year, Davin Flynn. He's in that category, isn't he, from Tipperary?
He is fairly ripping up the place, yeah. I mean, you look at the league final. I saw him playing now twice this year, and the league final, the last, I think it was a 280 he scored last Saturday or something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. And then even in the game against Antrim in the first round of the Ulster Championship, he's scoring again. He's a real find, and he is a genuine good hurler. This fella is excellent. And I would urge people, come and see, because he's the real article. He's the real deal, yeah.
Yeah. And as you said, this is a new-look team, an old playing colleague of yours, Ardrin McDermott, doing a fine job.
Very, very good job. And I mean, I remember with Ireland at the start of this year, we were talking transition, because they had lost up to 14 players from last year. He brought on new, younger, kind of a breed to mix in with some of the older lads. And he had a job in his hand, but my God, he has certainly turned it around. I mean, one of the biggest things for Donegal is to make sure we're playing top quality hurling. And by getting promotion, we're now going to be in with the big lads again. And then this, you know, championship season coming up now, first game against Armagh. I'd say Ardle is very happy with where the squad is at the minute.
Yeah, and talk to me about the Nicky record. Looking at it, okay, I was Donegal and Armagh on Saturday. Before we look ahead to that game, because that's the kind of a rivalry no more than Donegal and Tyrone that has developed and evolved over the years. You have Monaghan, Tyrone, Louth and Derry in there as well.
Yeah, and I suppose out of those, you would be picking out Derry. You'd be picking out Armagh and Donegal, as in my opinion, as the strong three in there. Do you know what I mean? And they're the ones to watch. Derry, I suppose, have a credential when it comes to hurling. They're always strong. They're always powerful. You know, Armagh the same. Armagh would be have been consistently one of the strongest teams in that kind of tier of Ulster hurling. Donegal are behind them now, and Donegal are beginning to be a threat to a lot of those counties.
Derry pulled out of didn't compete in the Ulster Championship, Senior Championship this year. Obviously, that's a strategy they've taken on.
Yeah, I suppose a pity in one way, because, you know, we're trying to, you know, make Ulster hurling a bit more competitive. I mean, it's been disappointing the way maybe Antrim have performed in the last couple of championships, the Liam McCarthy's, and it's, you know, we want to try and get it. And the only way you can make things strong is to keep teams in it. So I was disappointed to hear of Derry's decision. I suppose from a strategic point of view, I can understand it, that they want to win kind of a championship, no more so than 06. I remember that, because they were saying they were using it as a stepping stone to try and beat us in Croke Park was their kind of bouncing board. Maybe it's the same strategy again, which makes them very, very dangerous because it makes them a team with a plan, and the plan probably involves winning the Nicky Rackard out and out.
Would it be fair to say probably looking at Derry and the fact that Sloughneil are Ulster club champions, that they're probably the team to beat in the Nicky Rackard?
Oh, without a doubt in the world. I mean, I would imagine every bookie has them as the favourites. I mean, they are a strong, they're a committed team, and like you said, with the likes of the Sloughneil just after winning, you know, they're going to be that team to beat.
Yeah, Donegal Armagh on Saturday. Obviously, that's well, the beauty of the Nicky Rackard is there is a second chance, but obviously going through the front door is the best way.
It is, because once you win, you'll be pitted against another winner, and you will get another chance. You know, so it's important to win. You know, and I think even for any team, I suppose it's a cliche at this stage, but I mean, momentum is everything. If you win and win and win, you're going to be very strong. But Armagh, Donegal, it's one of those games that's going to be very, very hard to kind of predict.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it's funny because I suppose we have a former Armagh hurling all-star.
Declan Coulter, yeah.
Exactly, who's now playing his hurling for Donegal. It'll be interesting. It'll be a tough one, but I would be optimistic. I would think Donegal will win this.
Mm. Of course, Armagh were out in the Ulster final senior hurling final last weekend. Again, right. they tried to get it deferred no more than Donegal. Donegal decided to opt out of their Shield final, but...
Yeah. Well, you see, I suppose what has to be understood is once the Ulster is over, and from a very realistic point of view, you know, Donegal aren't in a place where they're going to win the Ulster Championship. So what they have to do is they have to make sure that once they fulfil the fixture and, you know, pit themselves against a much higher level opposition, well, the next thing for Donegal is the Nicky Rackard. It's not the Shield, it's the Nicky Rackard. So that's the next most important thing. So I think it's you know, it was probably a mistake by the GAA to not recognise that, I would imagine.
Colm, thank you for joining us. Unfortunately, the clock has beaten us. Just a reminder.
Not at all, Tom.
Okay.
Goodbye, Thuhain.
That's it for another week for the GAA programme. Just remember, Donegal ladies are in National League Division 1 semi-final action on Sunday. They play Galway down in Sligo. But Gian Shockton's Hogan will meet Tom Cormack or Jimmy Stafford on Sound Sligo's Bannock.